What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Ride in the Pine. Jack Ridenour back with you all today, and as always, we've got another fantastic episode in store for everyone at home. But before I get into all of that, let's take a little dive into the last episode. I was joined by a tremendous guest from the basketball world that is currently playing overseas. Current overseas pro basketball player playing in Israel, Alex Leader. Alex and I discuss his journey from playing Division III basketball to making it to the professional level, what it was like getting adjusted from the college to the pro style of play, and so much more. So if you want to hear about Alex's journey from D3 to the pros, go check out episode 275 and all 275 episodes that are out now on all podcast platforms. Now, getting into today, we're going to be joined by another great guest from the basketball world, but this time from the coaching side of things. Current assistant men's basketball coach for the St. Francis University Red Flash, Coach Eric Taylor. Coach Taylor and I discuss his career, first off as a basketball player playing at St. Francis University, and what it was like becoming a coach at his alma mater, what it was like getting reconnected with his former teammate, Coach Rob Krimmel, who's now the head coach of St. Francis University, Coach Taylor's career playing overseas, and also what it was like getting adjusted from the college style of play to the professional level of play, and so much more. So if you want to hear about Coach Taylor's journey from a player all the way back to being a coach here at St. Francis University, don't go anywhere, because here comes Coach Eric Taylor. So with that, folks, let's make our way into our show for today. So as always, be sure to find your favorite seat here on the bench with me. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And I'm here with current assistant men's basketball coach for the St. Francis men's basketball team, Coach Eric Taylor. Coach, great to get you on the show today, my friend. How's it going?
Thanks, Jack. I really appreciate this opportunity to speak with you and shed some light on, you know, St. Francis basketball and a little bit about myself and a little bit about what could help someone somewhere with some messages that we have that we emphasize with the team, and a little bit of perseverance from my career. In the grand scheme of things.
Absolutely. Well, hey, listen, I'm really excited to have you on the show. Obviously, I know that season's underway and whatnot, and we're going to obviously touch on it, but I know how much St. Francis has been a big part in your career in basketball. But want to stay in the here and now. Conference play has begun, off to a great start, 2-0 right now. How much has that meant to this group to just get out to that quick start and a positive start early on in conference play?
Yeah, I think the one thing that what's meant to the group is just like getting that first win in conference. No matter what you did in non-conference, whether you went 10-0 in conference or 1-9 or 5-6, you know, you have all those variations out there. Getting that first conference win and getting that feeling for morale is so key and so important. And so I think, you know, with our guys, we're happy that we got a great start to the weekend, but we're not satisfied. The one thing that we had talked about over the last couple of days, it's like being persevering through the human flaw of complacency. You know, the human flaw is like you get the success and you're like, okay, you know, take your foot off the gas. But then it's like that complacency sets in, and it's to no fault of anyone. But that's the one thing that we try to guard against with our guys, especially with the fact that we did kind of have our bumps and bruises in the non-conference, and then getting that first conference win, where you have to just grind things out. You have to be a little bit gritty. You can't take possessions off. And for those guys to come through with a win against a really good Central Connecticut team, and then a really, really experienced Stonehill team, it's a credit to what our guys bought into, and then what the coaching staff has implemented and emphasized over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's definitely been no signs, I would say, of complacency from this group right now, especially just how they've come out to such a strong start in conference play out of the non-conference. It was a tough non-conference for you guys, went up against a lot of really, really good teams. How much do you think that tough non-conference, though, is going to benefit you down the road and really down the stretch of conference play as we get deeper into the schedule?
Playing that type of tough non-conference schedule definitely benefits our guys, just because what you do is you play against your Big Tens, you play against your ACCs, you play against, a really, really good Hawaii team. You play against a really good Big East team. Those are the things you want to try to prime yourself, just because, like, in the grand scheme of things, when we talk about the big picture and we talk about March Madness, these are the teams you're going to play. You want to measure yourself against the best. The best right now in the basketball land is Power Five. Your ACC, Big 12, Big East, ACC, I might have said them twice, but Atlantic 10s. These are your conferences, your Pac-12s. These are your conferences where you have the pool of players that are your cream of the crop student athletes that coaches go out and recruit. And so when you have those pool of players and majority of these players being on one specific team, and then we have a team where we try to recruit these blue collar guys, good student athletes. We believe in development in the program. And so you want to measure yourself against these bigger teams and see how you measure out. And then in the grand scheme of things, get into the conference play. And then after conference play is over, if you are blessed and lucky enough to win your conference tournament, you go into the field of 68 and you play against that caliber. And that's what we prepare for.
It's very strategic when you think about how you kind of have to, you know, carefully map out who you want to go up against, how you want to prepare for that to get ready for the latter part of the year. Because, you know, really, like you and I were mentioning even off air, the non-conference schedule, it's, you know, again, not the end of the world. If you go 0-10, 0-11, 2-12, whatever, right? It's about the conference schedule. And then in the latter part of the season. So I think it's a good point that you make about getting prepared early in the season for the latter part of the year. But coach, want to get into your career, started out as a player. And I know that St. Francis has meant a lot to your career. You actually were a player at St. Francis. Want to hear from you. What made you want to continue your career at St. Francis and be a part of the Red Flash?
The one thing that when you're on a team and you form these bonds with teammates, inevitably, you form specific bonds with maybe a core group of guys. You try to form it with everyone, but then there's a core group of guys that may gravitate to your personality more than others. And I think Rob Krimmel was one of those personalities that I gravitated towards, a guy who, when he came in as a freshman and I was a junior, we had a brotherhood where we just took care of each other. The upperclassmen took care of the underclassmen, and vice versa. We all took care of each other. And that's something that we try to emphasize here at St. Francis as well, in this current day. And so, when I always had a love for St. Francis, even after I left, and always was watching from a distance how the program was doing, just because of the love that I had for the program and for the people here at St. Francis, our academia included, just because we do have a few professors that are still here when I was a student here. And so Rob was still here as an assistant coach. And the stars were aligned where I was ending my professional career in Europe. And I gave Rob a call. I said, you know what? I want to get into coaching. And what better place to come back to and help you as a teammate as we once was before, build the program back to where it needs to be, where student athletes are gaining these experiences. We are developing and mentoring and supporting these young men mentally, emotionally, and in their basketball careers. And that was something that we wanted to grasp in our core. And that reverberated from Coach McConnell, who we played under. He was a guy who believed in development. He was a guy who recruited both Rob and I, and we have kind of segued a lot of what his culture was about. We kind of infused a little bit of the culture into St. Francis here today.
Well, I mean, I think it's incredible that you kind of have that full circle moment with somebody that is so close to you, like Rob Krimmel. Again, I mean, being able to play with him, but also not only that, but coach with him. Very unique situation. I know you mentioned that it was at the tail end of your professional career. I want to get into a little bit of your professional career. As your professional career was winding down and you were playing in various countries in Europe and whatnot, when did it kind of dawn on you that you said, you know, I might want to get into coaching? I mean, at what point were you kind of starting to think of that switch and segueing to that side of the game of basketball?
Yeah, it was a few. It was like, you know, in life, and I think everyone can attest to this in their own optic lens, you're presented with situations in your life that you kind of don't know why they happen, but they happen. And my faith always leans on God in a way like, all right, God is putting this in my life for a certain reason. And so later in my career, I played for a guy named Chris Fleming. Chris Fleming, he may be an NBA coach right now. I haven't followed him much as of late, but I know he coached with the Brooklyn Nets, and then he might have been with the Chicago Bulls a little bit, but he coached for this team in Germany, in the Brose Baskets Bamberg. Won a couple championships there with Bamberg. And so Chris and I, we got close because he appointed me captain of that team, with Casey Jacobson and, who else played with us? Dan Dickow. I think Dan Dickow played with us, Elton Brown, Brian Roberts, went to Dayton, Elton Brown went to Virginia, Casey Jacobson, Stanford guy, Dan Dickow, Gonzaga guy. So anyways, Chris said to me, he was like, Eric, well, you know, you should think about coaching. And this, I'm maybe four to five years away from retiring. I didn't know I was going to retire in 4 to 5 years, but I was like, okay. I'm like, why are you saying this? Like, do you think I can play anymore? Do you think I should start coaching now because I'm starting to get a little bit older because I can't do the things that I did when I was younger? But Chris and I, we had a pretty good relationship. We kind of we kind of butted heads, on the court, as a coach player sometimes, but like it was all for competitive nature and intensity. But at the end of the day, he saw something in me that I probably didn't see in myself. And Chris was a God-fearing man, and he really believed that. And so after I left Brose Baskets Bamberg, I went to Poland, and there was a Polish guy named Zbigniew Piśniak was his name. Asked me to say that 5 times over. I cannot say it 5 times over. But Shabaniov, he said, I became a player coach in Tarnopsheg. It's the south of Poland, actually near the Ukrainian border. And so I've had like a lot of empathy, you know, during this time with everything going on in the world today. But Zbigniew made me player coach. And so I was a translator for the American players for them to give them kind of Polish basketball talk. So, I mean, Polish is one of the languages that I speak. And so I was like, all right, Zbigniew, I'll do this for you, you know, because Zbigniew didn't speak much English at all. And he was like, yo, Eric, we got these players coming over for America. Can you like tell them what I'm talking about so they understand what kind of plays we're running and things like that and what I want from them to do? I was like, all right, Shemaniel, let's do that. And so that was kind of like the start. So Chris's blessing and then Shemaniel's blessing. And I was already getting older in my career. And I'm just like, you know what? Coaching might be something in the future. And so that's when that seed got planted in Bamberg. Zbigniew had his blessing as well. And so that's kind of how it all got started. Had a couple injuries later in my career. I was a little bit self-aware and I was just like, look, Eric, you know, I think it's a little bit time. I'm, you know, 34 years old and, body's starting to break down. There's a future outside of basketball and maybe coaching is it. And so that's when stars aligned, Rob got the job. Like within that atmosphere, within that period of time. And Rob and I, we've kept in touch over the last, like, since I left in 98, when he would recruit for St. Francis, he would have to go to Cincinnati, where I'm from, and go to these Adidas camps down at UC. And we would meet up in the summers while I was transitioning from Europe, coming back to America for the 2 month rest and relax until I go back to Europe for my 10 month stint. And we just, as teammates, we kept in touch. We continued that bond, and we didn't know. There was one time we sat in my apartment in Cincinnati, and I'm playing a guitar. He's sitting down looking at recruiting books of which players he needed to see. And I tell you this, Jack, we didn't know that we would be coaching here today, 10 years in. And after, you know, a few championship, Northeast Conference championship runs, and developing great student athletes that have been here, like Keith Braxton and, you know, Jamal Kings and Scott Meredith and, you know, Greg Browns. And, you know, our first captains when we got here was Anthony Irvin and Umar Shannon and Tony Peters. Those were the guys that started when we got here. And so, and now today we have great student athletes like Josh Cohen and now Landon Moore and, you know, a good talented freshman group and, you know, Rennell Giles and Maxwell Land that have been loyal to the program, have believed in what we do. And I really give credit to those guys staying positive through COVID, through everything, through the adversity, through the perseverance of like whatever we've been through. And that's one of the reasons why we have kind of like that nucleus of belief that is leading to our initial success right now in the conference.
Well, I want to, before we get a little bit more into you and Coach Krimmel's relationship, because again, very unique, and I want to unpack it a tad bit more, but five or multiple languages, if I'm not mistaken, you know, five languages. I know that you mentioned that you were the translator for your team. I mean, that's got to be a very unique thing to be able to do, but also, you know, I'm sure it kind of gives you a different perspective on life. How has that kind of, you know, again, being able to be so versatile with language, how has that allowed you to be a really good communicator as a coach and being able to communicate with your players? Because I think it's so vital to have a very strong player-coach relationship. You clearly had one with your coach, Coach McConnell. So you had that really good precedent. And then obviously also in Europe. So how has that kind of background with having such a tremendous knowledge in language allowed you to be a great communicator in coaching?
I give thanks to mom and dad. I mean, and my family, when I think about growing up and the beginning stages was being put in a Lutheran preschool with diverse cultures. This was huge for me. I didn't know that that would make an impact on me from the beginning, but it really settled the emotions when you come in contact with other people that may not look like yourself. And so that experience catapulted me into going to Catholic junior high, going to public high school at Withrow in Cincinnati, Catholic junior high in Nativity in Cincinnati, and then leading to St. Francis, and then going to Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox countries in Europe. And so when you talk about experiences that impact you as a child, these are the things that I'm blessed to be able to be a good communicator and absorb and submerge myself into other cultures, because I wanted to know like how other people thought, how they how they ate, the culture behind what they do. Like I wanted to know everything about them. I had no fear about something that was foreign to me. And so I really thank God for that, just because I have no fear to go to a foreign country and I don't speak the language, but I'll pick up a small book from, I think this guy's name is Rick Stevens. And he has like all these little pocketbooks that you can put like in your coat, and you can pull this pocketbook out and you can go through the numbers and you can go through your good mornings and your please and your thank yous and your welcomes and things like that. The most essential things about, you know, communicating with a human is being grateful and being thankful. And, you know, once you start to feel emotions from people, this is when you start to create these bonds of friendship and humanity. And this is what creates relationships with all peoples. And that was just one thing that I really believe in. I'll never stop believing in that. And that's one of the reasons why I was able to be blessed to be able to speak these other languages and communicate with Germans, Polish, French, Spanish, and a little bit of Serbian. My Serbian has kind of fleeted for me, but English as well. So I never forget that I do speak English, Jack.
sometimes I forget I speak English. That's like we both forget. I sometimes people ask me how many languages do you know. I know half a language. I know half of English. That's all I know. I just think that it's an important thing for people, I think, to be aware of being able to be open to being around people that might not look, speak, sound, or act like you, right? That's I think what makes life the unique and beautiful thing it is. That's is right. The difference, right? Is the diversity in being different. It's not, you know, being the same. It's being very, very, you know, different. That's the beauty of it. But you mentioned relationships, and clearly you and Coach Krim will have a great one. I do have to ask, though, I'm curious about this dynamic as former teammates, now coaches, because I'm sure sharing the court, both literally playing and then now on the sideline, you guys probably know each other's moves pretty well in terms of just what is he going to do? What are you going to do? What are you thinking? What is he thinking? How does that dynamic work for you guys nowadays when you're coaching and you have that pre-established relationship as being teammates?
Yeah, the relationship, Jack, thanks for mentioning that. It's a very unique situation what Coach Krimmel and I have, and with, you know, Luke and then Joe Cosgrove, who's come along, Oliver Allen, who helps us a lot with video, Coach Helton, who was here with Coach McConnell back in the 90s. But with Coach Krimmel and I, because I was his first hire when he got the head job, he wanted to know that, like, he knew I was going to bring some intensity. He knew I was going to bring something different. He knew that I was going to bring something different to the table that he didn't bring. And that was clever by him, just because, like, you don't want someone around the table or someone next to you that, like, thinks just like you do. And then, you know, because some things may not work out. And then if you lean on this other person, you're like, hey, what do you think? Well, I think what you think. Well, that didn't work. What do you think? Well, I don't know what's going to work. Well, we both think the same, so we don't get a solution for something that's going to be an adjustment that might help us win the game. And so that's the one thing that I think has helped him and I, is being on the court, you know, 20 some years ago, and then being able to translate everything that we learned from our plan days, adversities and successes, and bring that into our coaching dynamic now, which is totally unique, just because, like, every coaching staff may not be able to do that. Some are doing that. But the fact that we can do that here at St. Francis, a place that's been a safe haven for him and I, a place where we met a lot of people, built a lot of relationships, and now we can recruit and bring student athletes here and tell them about the goodness of St. Francis, of what the mission of culture of the university is, and then what the mission and culture of our team is, and how we did it, and how we can implement it here. And that's something that just helped Rob and I, because we can bounce ideas off each other. We don't agree all the time. We don't agree all the time. He knows I will throw something against the wall just to see if it sticks. And it might be an adjustment that he may not be used to making, but he knows I'm going to bring it to the table so he can just think about it. And so that's the dynamic that is a healthy dynamic and not an unhealthy dynamic. Some dynamics are unhealthy just because everything could be destructive. It could be combative. It could be, ego infused, you know, high ego infused. No, we don't do that. And that's one of the reasons why our dynamic thrives at St. Francis, just because he knows me. I know him. He knows I won't try to one-up him. He won't one-up me. It's a really, really healthy dynamic. And that's one of the reasons why he can bounce a lot of things off me I trust him and his leadership. He trusts me and everything I bring to the table. And I think that's the one thing that has helped us stay together over the past 10 years, going on 11.
Well, again, I mean, it's so unique because I think if you look at a lot of staffs across the country, there's probably, and again, I'm not looking at all the staffs across the country, but my educated guess would be there's not many of them that have this former teammate now coaching together kind of dynamic that you all have. And I think what is really cool is that you have someone that's also was a big part of your program back when you guys played, but now is a part of your coaching staff. Luke McConnell, his dad, Tom McConnell, was your all's head coach in college. What's it meant to have him around on the staff as well, and to continue to kind of have that tradition, that legacy, and that keeping that theme up of being, again, that in-house developing, but then also that family dynamic that as well.
Luke has been amazing with us. You know, it was a no-brainer that Rob, you know, we brought him to staff. We knew what we were going to get just because of the human pedigree that he comes from. He comes from a cloth of good culture, a great family, the McConnells. Tom, who coached us, who we know that we could trust with, you know, with our daughters, with our sons, with our aunts, our uncles. So it was a no-brainer to hire Luke, and it's a no-brainer to hire anyone from the McConnell family, because we know what we're going to get. We're going to get blue collar. We're going to get brains. We're going to get hard work. We're going to get resilience. Those are the things, that the attributes that Luke McConnell brings to the table. Luke being a student athlete here, a former student athlete of St. Francis, and the fact that Luke used to sit on the bench with us as a 4-year-old toddler and learning everything from his dad and his dad's assistants, and then, you know, being with his players, with Tom McConnell's players, and Tom McConnell trusting his little toddler, because Luke was the baby before the babies were born. Yeah. So Luke was that baby before the twins were born, Christopher and Mary, because Christopher and Mary were born in like 1996, if I'm not mistaken, 97. And so Luke was that baby. And so like now we, you know, Luke being with us and helping us and being well organized and, you know, doing a lot of our scouting, and Luke's going to be a good head coach one day. And so that's the pedigree that the McConnells bring. And I feel that.
It's got to be pretty funny at times. You know, you're looking at Luke and you're probably, you go back in time and you're like, I remember when you were a kid. Is there any funny stories that you have of him when he was running around at practice?
Oh yeah. That there's one. Like, so, Luke and, all the kids, you know, you had Tommy, you had Ashley, you had Sean, if I'm forgetting, oh, and then Tommy Jr. And so like Luke was always that jovial presence, cause he was the baby around all the players. And so like there's an ox gym connected to our main gym. And, back in the day, they used to have like this blow up like play gym, you know, like all the kids can go in there, you open the gate and kids are jumping around with all those plastic balls, you know what I mean, throwing them around. And so the one thing Luke used to do, he used to love doing, is I used to hold up my arm like this in the ox gym before we would get ready for the game, and Luke would just come hang on my arm, and I would like raise my arm like this. I'm like, Luke, you got to hang on, bro. Let's see if he can hang on. And Luke would hang on. And so that was his thing. You know, before the pregame, Luke's like, yo, E.T., like, let's go to the ox gym. Let me see if I can hang on your arm. And so, you know, now Luke's probably a little bit stronger than I am, because we just lifted yesterday. We had a staff workout. And so Luke played football, and now he's got like these traps and shoulders and stuff like that. Now I need to ask Luke if I can go hang on his arm, if he can, if he can hold me. So Luke's been a blessing with us, and we're just glad to have him. And it's amazing the growth to see him as a toddler, and now as a young man, you know, in his late 20s. And what he's done for the program has been invaluable.
Well, it's really cool with just, again, the connections that they're all kind of intertwined on the staff, and being able to kind of, again, be able to see him grow up to be how he is today, right? From when he was a kid to now. So I'm sure that's got to be a really cool moment. And I'm sure, like you said, actually, I was with an old teammate of yours, Tom Fox, and he joked about how big Coach McConnell was looking. So it's probably, you might have to ask him, hey, what are you doing, man? There's something in it. What are you drinking? What are you eating? I need to know what the secret is to Luke McConnell. I think that's really cool that you have that memory with him. But Coach, it's been great to have you on the show. Before we get you out of here, I always leave all my guests with this one. And I want to hear from you kind of when you had this moment or this realization, if you will, as to when you had that aha moment and said, you know what, I can play basketball at the professional level and I can really make basketball a career. So when did that happen for you? And you said, you know what, this can really be something that I can see myself doing for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I think when I first started playing basketball, I always didn't like basketball. I was a soccer player, you know, so World Cup for me is everything. And the only reason that I played basketball was I was brought to the game by George Jackson, who was my high school coach, and the late Lewis Orr, who, God bless him and his family, he just passed away like 2 weeks ago. Lou was like this guiding figure, like kind of like this Yoda that you would see like once every blue moon. And the span of time that I'm talking about is like me going to basketball camps at Withrow and then all the way up to me choosing St. Francis. So you had maybe a 9 year span. And I saw Lou Orr maybe like three or four times in 9 years. He was that type of guy, great guy. And just always he was always a presence. And so he's like, Eric, you can do anything you want. Why don't you come out and play for Withrow? George Jackson, who I know really well, he's the head coach here. You know, I had a fear of being good, just because in a dynamic, and I won't take too much time of your time, Jack, here, but in this dynamic, there's always a fear, because I was an introvert and I really didn't get along in like bigger groups. This was me like when I early on. And so like soccer, you were a teammate, but you can kind of sit over in the side of the field and just do your own thing until that ball came. And then you had to go kick it or defend it or things like that, whatever, you know? And so when I first started, I had some adversity. I wasn't athletic. I wasn't talented. All I could do was like kick a soccer ball so I could get on the court. I had some agility. I could rebound just because I had that agility and that coordination from soccer. And so that was my go-to. I was like, you know what? I'm going to just rebound. That's what I'm going to do. I'll let offense come along. And that's what Coach Jackson said. He said, look, offense is going to come along, but I'm telling you, Eric, E.T., we need a rebounder. I said, all right. Because I was like, Coach, I'm not that talented. I don't have a jump hook. You know, I can't dunk. I can't do this and that. But I tell you what, I'm going to go get that basketball. And so that was the one thing that the vision started. That vision was created then, Jack. I said, you know what? Let me just rebound. Let me do this. And this is what my teammates needed. So I had four good guards that I played around. And they shot up all the basketballs. And what did I do, Jack? I rebounded because they wasn't making all of them. And so that was the start. And finding out about Lou, what he did as an NBA player. Coach Jackson was a good player. Tyrone Hill was a great rebounder out of Philadelphia 76ers. He was an all-star. LaSalle Thompson, who played for the Indiana Pacers. Brandon Hunter, who came after me. Like, that was our pedigree. We all were rebounders. That's what we did. And so that was where the vision came. So when you talk about the start, I said, you know what? I'm a rebound. I know that's going to get us somewhere. It got us places in the high school championship in 94. And then I was blessed enough to play with teammates where I could bring the attributes that I was gifted and blessed with to St. Francis and go and rebound these basketballs that my teammates were missing. And that's where it all started. It was the dirty work, Jack. Like, it wasn't nothing pretty about what I did. And so, like, I was, again, I say, I was blessed to be able to do it. I'm thankful. I'm grateful for all the relationships and the bonds that I've created over the time and over the years, through, you know, from a Tyler to Nativity to Withrow and to St. Francis, and now keep coaching back in St. Francis, in between that intermittent time in Europe. And so I just thank God for being able to do what I can do, especially at this time where we, where you know that every day is not promised. God bless, and you know, the family of the young man from the Buffalo Bills. You know, like it's just, you just have to come to a sense of an awareness of gratefulness just to be able to play every day. And we, you know, we pray for the family. But that was the one thing that we ingrained in our culture, just being thankful for every day to be able to do it. Cause at the end of the day, it's a game and we're putting our lives on the line, you know, basketball, football, lacrosse, soccer, volleyball, swimming, everything is, everything's on the line for the love of the game, you know? And so that's the, I'm really glad to be able to do it. Thankful for the relationships that I have right now. Thankful for the faith that I have, and just really appreciate you shedding some light on me and me being able to have an opportunity to just talk with you and shed light for maybe someone else that's listening that may need some inspiration to keep doing it. Persevere.
You can absolutely do it. Coach. Absolutely. I love it. I really appreciate the time. And again, thanks so much for sharing that message. I think it's one that is, you know, obviously a great one, and one that is, I know is going to be well received. And I'm sure you're going to probably also thank Coach Krimmel for missing a couple 3-pointers back in the day so you could get a couple of those rebounds. But like I said, appreciate your time as always, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks. Thanks, Jack. Really appreciate that. God bless you, and see you soon.
And there he goes, Coach Eric Taylor. Another fantastic episode today, everyone. Thanks for joining me here on the bench. Be sure to keep following and subscribing to Ride in the Pine on Apple and Spotify, and keep following on Twitter at RideThePine20, RTP all capital, Instagram at Riding_the_pine_, and on TikTok at RideInThePine all lowercase for all of the latest updates on episodes and content to come. All 276 episodes are out now. Keep leaving those ratings and reviews, and again, folks, keep your eyes and ears open for more great guests and content all coming from the basketball world. But once again, everyone, thanks so much for tuning in today. And until next time on Ride in the Pine, keep on sitting the bench with me.